And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So thankful that you're joining us tonight. Really, thank you. It's great to be on video again. Last night we had a little bit of an issue. I don't know exactly what happened, but it's great to be back on camera. Of course, we broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you, Global Star, for carrying us. Also on BTR, Blog Talk Radio. Great company as well. And of course, right here on YouTube Live. We two websites, HagmanReport.com, Hagman and Hagman.com, Hagman and Hagman, for the show. Hagman Report for the show information. And I would like to remind everyone to go there all of the time. Look for the old time radio. And there you can get the show notes for the week. And of course, we've got a great episode lined up for you this evening as well. And, it's our pleasure, by the way, to welcome to the show. We're going to get right into it. Adam K. Levin. If you don't know who this gentleman is, you haven't been paying attention. Mr. Levin is a consumer advocate. He's got more than three decades of experience in finance, personal finance, privacy, real estate, government service. I mean, this guy has done it all. Former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, Mr. Levin is the chairman and founder of Cyber Scout, formerly IDT911, and co-founder of Credit.com, serves as a spokesman for both companies. He's an expert on personal finance, credit, identity management, fraud, privacy, and of course, right before the episode, I was explaining how someone exploited my personal finances and, well, I was the victim of fraud, credit card fraud, last year. And, it's never fun when that happens. And we're seeing today, everything's connected. The world is connected through this vast array of cyber stuff. So we're going to be talking about that, as well as what's going on in the world in general with respect to, from Vault 7 to WikiLeaks, to everything, to phishing scams, I mean, you name it. So it's our pleasure to welcome Adam K. Levin. His website is adamlevin.com. That's L-E-V-I-N. It's in the show notes. You can get to it. Tremendous guy. Again, if you haven't, he's been on Fox, ABC News. He's got a column, regular column he writes, on various websites, actually. But, Mr. Levin, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. My goodness. I never really thought I'd be talking to you. I mean, I've seen you on so many programs. It's great to see you, on ours. Of course, Joe, I should bring Joe on. Joe, come on board, man.
Yeah, it's great to be here. And again, our guest is Adam Levin. AdamLevin.com is the website. He has a book out called Swiped.
Yes.
And you should bookmark his website and check out all the information up there. As you can see from our YouTube screen, he's got stuff about, personal finances, identity theft, and a number of other important issues that we see front and center in the news today. Mr. Levin, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much. And remember, our slogan is scaring is caring.
I like that. Well, it's easy to get scared in the world today, with respect to the, you know, all the cyber stuff, the identity theft and the, credit card scams and the phishing scams. And you even have, I noticed on your website, of course, no one is immune, Vice President's not even immune from all of this, but let's, if you don't mind, let's open with your book, because I find a lot of value in your book, Swiped, which is available, of course, in many outlets. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your book, Swiped.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, it's based on the premise that breaches have become the third certainty in life, buying, death, and taxes. As much as we'd all like to believe that we can prevent becoming victims of identity theft, we really can't. Because let's say as a consumer, and we can talk about businesses too, but as a consumer, you can do everything right. But if your information is on the wrong database at the wrong moment, when the wrong person gains unauthorized access, and that information contains your social security number, you're going to be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life. So the theory behind the book really is, we know that prevention would be great, and we should certainly do everything we can. We have to look at this in terms of what I call the three M's. How to minimize your risk of exposure, how do you monitor most effectively, and how do you manage the damage?
You know, and I have to say, at least in my case, we do things like that in reverse. I'm trying to minimize the damage, you know, first. And then I'm thinking, okay, how do I close the barn door? And again, this is something that I've heard from so many people here just lately, that they're victims of various types of scams and identity frauds and, you know, all of this. If you can just select one thing, and I'm kind of shooting from the hip here, because I wasn't going to start here, but I kind of want to start here anyway.
Sure.
What would you recommend? I know my wife shops on Amazon. My wife shops online a lot. I shouldn't say Amazon. She shops online.
Right.
And she's putting the debit card number in and stuff. And I'm just thinking, wow, man, you know, I mean, how can we protect ourselves? Or do you have like a magic way of doing it? And I know your book addresses some of this, but.
There are certain things. First of all, you mentioned the magic words debit card. And my first piece of advice is never use your debit card when you shop online, at the risk of having banks across the world chasing after me with sharp weapons. Use a credit card. Because remember, with a credit card, it's their money. With a debit card, it's your money. You have more time to find out if you really have a problem. And if you have a problem, you can shut it down pretty quick. With a debit card, the problem is that it goes right into your bank account. And that money comes out of your bank account. Even assuming the bank completely agrees with you that you were a victim of fraud and they're going to return your money, some banks have a 24-hour policy, but some banks could take up to 10 days to return the money based on whatever they investigate. And as a result, if that's money that you need for groceries or tuition or rent or mortgage or your car payment, you could be late. You could have a problem. And why do you want to pay late fees? And why would you want to face the possibility of having angry creditors? So use a credit card. But my, you know, ultimate advice really is, when you're operating online, don't just click on links. Know where they go. Use real websites. Verify their authenticity before you go. Make sure they say HTTPS in the address line and you see the little lock on it. You know, to take Ronald Reagan one step further, never trust, always verify when you shop online.
That's a good piece of advice. And that goes as well, because, for example, our bank, we receive an ATM card or a card in the mail or from the bank, and it could be used, quote, as a credit card or as a debit card, point of sale card. But what you're saying is, even using, or I'll ask you in the form of a question, if I use that card that doubles as a credit/debit card, it's really always a credit card because it directly accesses your account, or a debit card.
Yeah, it's a debit card. I mean, you know, the whole controversy between debit and credit when it came to those cards really related to fees that could be charged merchants based on the different processing system that it would go through. So use a real credit card, always.
All right. Okay. And thank you for that. Did you hear that, honey? Are you listening? All right. And folks, I mean, this is important information because, in fact, right before the show, I was talking with a colleague who said, you know, hey, they had a problem with, one of the very same issues that we're speaking of. Author of the book Swipe, by the way. It's a fantastic, indispensable book, especially today. And I believe Mr. Levin's book Swipe is perhaps one of the most important, field manuals for operating in today's digital society. That's my view. And of course, you can check out all of the reviews online. What's on your radar, if I can ask? What is on your radar right now as you look over the landscape of the country, the globe, everything that's taken place? You've got one of the top 50 cybersecurity blogs on the planet. So we're going to kick it to you. What are you looking at all over the place here?
Well, you know, the thing that worries me the most, and I go back to the 2016 elections, and I'm not going to debate with anybody, you know, who did it, what they did, and if it had an outcome or not. What's of greater concern to me is the whole issue of where cybersecurity stands when we're talking about the whole host of issues that we face. And people were much more concerned and focused on building a wall with Mexico than they were on the issue of what I call the cyber dome. And it shouldn't be. I mean, the reality is that the Cold War has been replaced by the cyber war, and we're living in a world where everywhere you turn, there are breaches, that we are not training as many people as we need to in this country to become cybersecurity professionals. We have a Congress that can't agree on the day of the week. We have a U.S. government that has been breached like nobody's business. And, you know, I work with an awful lot of businesses around the world, and we are trying to pressure them more and more to be more safe when it comes to cyber hygiene. And, you know, it's very tough when a business says, so you're asking me, and I don't have anywhere the resources, the United States government, that I have to be safer and more locked up than the government of the United States, which every time you turn around, they're being breached by somebody. Now, in the case of this recent WikiLeaks situation, I mean, here you have the top spy agency in the U.S., basically with its secrets all over the place. And, you know, whether you want to accept the argument of, is it really stuff we didn't know? Or, you know, somebody said something recently, I thought, as they said that that Edward Snowden put out the playbook. But this newest WikiLeaks leak is the blueprint. And, you know, this is of great concern to me. And, you know, there are so many scams that we can talk about, a lot of the scams, because they're fascinating and scary. The reality still is, I don't know whether the government of the United States takes the whole issue of cybersecurity as seriously as it should.
Interesting. And, well, it's evident, obviously, just from what we see. Let's talk a little bit about
the contents of the Vault 7. Mr. Levin, I don't know how much you've looked into what was released so far, and you made the statement, you know, is it stuff that just confirms what we already knew, or is there new information in there? One of the most dangerous things I see with it was the release of the different tools that are used to infiltrate networks and computers and phones. And apparently that's just out there on the internet for any hacker or anybody to grab. At the same time, they're putting out headlines that say, you know, WikiLeaks is going to work with tech giants to make better products that are immune from hacking. But I want to ask you this. Is there such thing as products that are immune from hacking if they're connected to the internet?
Anything that's connected to the internet could well be hacked. And you know, one of the things they talked about in the WikiLeaks, and that has been brought to the fore by a lot of the commentators, is the fact that, yes, you have, for instance, messaging apps that are pretty secure. They're encrypted from end to end, but the problem is if the device itself is hacked, that doesn't help you any. So just like when people talk about, you know, the EMV cards or the chip and PIN, even though in this country they're chip and signature because somebody made a decision that Americans aren't smart enough to remember PIN numbers, which is ridiculous. The problem is that there is a false sense of security because while it will cut down fraud card present transactions, everybody is shopping online, and when you shop online, you have to give all the information anyway, right? The same information that you would give if there was a magnetic stripe. So, you know, there are things where it sounds like maybe we're doing a better job and we're trying to do a better job, but we aren't necessarily doing a better job. Now, one other note that I would give is, you know, a lot of people say, well, all we hear about is everybody hacking us. We never really hear about what's going on with us versus other people. And the answer is because, A, we have breach notification laws in this country, and B, on top of which, anybody that hacks us seems to want to leak the fact that they've hacked us. Whereas when we hack a foreign country, especially an unfriendly foreign country, they're not going to issue press releases. And our intelligence agencies don't really want to say anything about it because their attitudes, they would rather not let anyone know what we're doing and where we're doing it, where the military is saying, wait a minute, we need to get loud about this. We need to say to people, we are striking back. We are doing this stuff. We are offensively attacking other countries, you know, when we're concerned about what they're doing. So, I mean, you've got all of these competing interests going on and all of these issues flying back and forth.
Interesting.
I'm going to ask this question while it's fresh on my mind. The chips that they've put inside debit cards, I've seen a lot of merchants and cashiers say that it makes it safer. It's harder to steal the information when you use the chip. From what you've seen, is there any truth to the chip making the card more safe?
Well, the chip definitely makes it more difficult to counterfeit, which is really the issue, is because information would be stolen at point of sale systems and then used to counterfeit cards. When you have a chip, the chip is, you know, ever evolving. It's changing. Numbers are changing. And so think of it almost as checks in a checkbook, that every time you write a check, you go to the next number. So in one sense, yes, they're harder to counterfeit. But all that's really happened is the bad guys have simply moved online, where more and more people are shopping online. And as you know, doesn't matter if you have a chip card online, you're still giving away the credit card number and the expiration date, and in many cases, the security code on the back of the card. So the information is still out there.
Interesting. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that is the case. How does Mr. Levin shop online?
Well, I use a credit card.
Okay.
And I go to websites that I know are the real deal. Sometimes I will use the actual app connected with the real retailer. For instance, when I do anything on my mobile phone, I only do it from an environment that I know is secure. I don't use public Wi-Fi when I shop. I don't use public Wi-Fi to do financial transactions. I don't use free public Wi-Fi to even check email, because I'm a little neurotic about that. So I use VPNs, and I'm much more security-minded. But that doesn't mean that I'm still not vulnerable. Anything can happen. I also have a 4.5-year-old son. And if my phone is down and he gets his hands on it sometimes, one never knows. And I always tell people, you know, this is a concern that really we have in terms of breaches in businesses in this country and, frankly, all over the world. You know, the whole concept of bring your own device or use, your personal devices when doing business-related things, even if you use a VPN, which is that virtual private network, which think of it as like a secure tube, an encrypted tube. The problem is it depends upon, you know, where you're using it. If you're home, if your child gets anywhere near your computer and your computer suddenly gets a malware infection or somebody clicks on the wrong link in the household, and that could literally travel through and infect networks. So, I mean, we are exposed. And even as you do everything that you can to shield yourself from the problem, it's a reality. That's why, you know, when you talk about closing the barn door, well, one of the most important things in the world we live in now is knowing someone is in the barn in the first place. And that's where all the different forms of monitoring come in. So, you know, you do what you can to minimize your exposure, to reduce your attackable surface. And one other thing is, how do you really reduce your attackable surface in a world where you have 6 billion Internet of Things devices growing? They anticipate in the next few years to over 20 to 40 billion Internet of Things devices. Everything from cars, HVAC systems, security systems, baby monitors, even, believe it or not, a smart mattress cover. This is where you'll be able to put a cover on your bed. It will determine what the firmness is that helps you sleep. It will then be in a position to turn on and off the heat, on and off the lights, up and down the air conditioning. It may even, in the future, be able to turn on your coffee pot when you wake up. All these things are connected, and they all are hackable.
That just gave me the willies. Smart mattress cover.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, with the leak of Vault 7, WikiLeaks, a lot of that, to me, the files were kind of gobbledygook in terms, it seemed to be more technical, and there's a lot of technical stuff. Have you looked at those, the Vault 7? Have you looked through the files?
Just a little bit. A little bit, because, I mean, I've sort of been in the midst of a variety of different things, but, you know, the truth is, I'll take it on face value from a lot of the people that I respect that there is information, that it is of great concern. It may be of less concern what it says and the fact that it's out there. Now, the WikiLeaks people said that they're not going to actually publish the actual software, the codes or anything.
Right.
You know, that's what they say today. And that they're going to work with the companies. And, you know, one of the disturbing things that you hear is that the CIA has been collecting vulnerabilities, and they haven't necessarily, well, they haven't been sharing what they discover with the companies that have, you know, created the different apps and everything else where they found the vulnerabilities, which, again, is the whole issue of military versus intelligence, where intelligence doesn't want to tell anyone anything. They just want to keep gathering and gathering and gathering. But meanwhile, while they're gathering, it's not just about the companies. It's about we're all collateral damage. That unless a company understands the vulnerability and then patches the vulnerability, if we don't know and they don't know, that means the vulnerability continues, and that means that we are all susceptible to becoming victims of compromise. Because let's face it, if the CIA does it and nation states do it, you can bet your bottom dollar that there are a lot of bad guys out there that also are hacking into this, that know where the vulnerabilities are. That was the whole debate over backdoors to encryption. If you create a backdoor to encryption, don't assume only the forces of good will have access to it. And again, it depends upon your definition of the forces of good.
True. Different definitions for different people. Yeah, I understand that. Folks, we're talking with Adam Levin. He's the author of a book called Swiped, and this is indispensable in my view, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves. It's available on Amazon. Yeah, seriously, it's one of the best investments anyone can make, especially if you do any shopping at all, or if you have a debit card, credit card, or if you care about, look, if you're a human being in living in today's society, this is a good book to have. And I found it to be of excellent value and excellent importance. Of course, you can get it on Amazon, but Mr. Levin's website is adamlevin.com. We got about 2 minutes before the bottom of the hour break here. Before the break, the book itself, Swiped, you got a lot of praise for it. If you could pick out one single thing that people would get from that book, tell us about that.
The thing that I really hope they get more than anything is that we really have to step up our game, and we have to understand that there are people out there that are preying on us, and they're always looking for a point of vulnerability. They're looking for a crack or crevice into our lives because they know we're busy. We all have day jobs. We are distracted. And we have to remember that we are up against people where we are their day job. And for people who say, I'm just a regular person, why would anyone care about me? But what everyone has to remember is, to a hacker, to a scammer, each and every one of us is Kim Kardashian. We have what they want. They want our data. They want to use our data to commit medical fraud, to commit tax fraud, to commit child identity theft, to commit crimes with trails of breadcrumbs leading back to us as opposed to them, to open accounts and exploit us to make money for them. And that's why, doesn't matter how many laws there are or even how effectively they're enforced, at the end of the day, the ultimate guardian of the consumer is the consumer. And the more educated and aware we are of the dangers and how to find out that we are exposed and have a plan in the event we find out we have a problem, the better.
Very good. Our guest, Adam Levin, adamlevin.com. Yeah, I can, I'll learn to take a sip of coffee before I start talking again. Again, his book, Swiped, it's indispensable, especially as we're living in the digital age. When we get back from the bottom of the break here in 3 minutes, Mr. Levin, I want to ask you about, not just, the your opinion on, and Joe and I were talking about this before the show, your opinion on the accusations of hacking. And I know everyone's got a different opinions, but as a cybersecurity expert, the hacking on the DNC, what we saw with WikiLeaks with respect to the elections, and your just general feeling as to what's going on aside from the politics with respect to the alleged hacking or the alleged Russian interference. Folks, listening to the Hagman and the Hagman Report, our guest again, Adam Levin, adamlevin.com, his book, Swiped, absolutely indispensable for today's world. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening tonight and for tuning in. Global Star Radio Network, BTR, and of course, YouTube Live. Website, hagmanreport.com. Visit that. And also, please, bookmark or subscribe to our YouTube channel. That does elevate us in visibility. Be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
Sorry, we're talking among ourselves here, folks. Welcome back to the this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. It's fun to talk both with our guests and talk amongst ourselves here in the studio. Our guest is Adam Levin. He's the author of just a tremendously important book called Swiped, titled Swiped. And if you've ever, look, if you have a debit card, if you have a bank account, if you have an identity, if you've got a legal identity, you need to get this book. It's important because did you ever try to pick up the pieces seriously after your identity's been stolen or your bank account has been hacked? It is a full-time job. So he's written an indispensable book about that. Swipe is the title. Adam Levin is the author. AdamLevin.com, L-E-V-I-N. It's in our program description as well. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. We want to thank Lanai.
Right, Lanai Clark. Is that your
Lanai.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Lanai Clark, publicity director for AdamLevin.com.
Yeah.
Big thank you for setting up this interview.
Yeah.
She was very excited to see her name in print. You made her day, I'll tell you that.
Well, she made our day. You're making our day, I'll tell you. You know, during the break, before the break, I was asking about the hacking of the DNC and the allegation of Russian influence. And I know you're not directly involved in this, but from your perspective, what can you tell us about this?
Well, you know, from everything I've seen and heard and people I've talked to in the cybersecurity community, my colleagues, and I mean, they're pretty convinced it really was Russia. I certainly think the intelligence committees and the intelligence community is convinced it was Russia. They certainly see in the code, in the malicious code, they see coding that would indicate that the particular hacking groups, Cozy Bear and Fuzzy Bear, or the Bears, and my question, based on the first information release, is WikiLeaks the third bear in all of this? Who knows? But, you know, the reality is, we have a tendency to leave ourselves unprotected, and even with the Podesta breach and all the email that's floating around out there, I always tell people, listen, assume that anything you put in email one day could end up in the equivalent of skywriting. The old joke in the political community years ago is whatever you put in writing, assume one day will end up on the front page of the New York Times.
Oh, yeah.
Just even situations where I see all sorts of strange breaches and the W-2 scams and then the wire transfer fraud scams, I always say to people, how is it when you get an email that's theoretically from the boss, you don't pick up the phone or get up out of your chair and walk around the corner or take the escalator upstairs or the elevator and simply ask someone, did you send me this email? You're asking me to wire money to someplace I've never wired money to before. Or you're asking me to forward by email the W-2 backup information to you? Did you really do that? And, you know, this is another problem. For instance, you know, one of the scams out there is the IRS scam. You get a call from somebody who says from the IRS, and they ask you for information. Well, the IRS never makes phone calls like that. Or you get an email from the IRS asking you to provide information. They don't send email. You get a call from your bank, and it's okay if your bank says, we just would like you to confirm these transactions because they seem suspicious. But the minute anyone asks you, by the way, could you flip over your card and read your security code? Or can you give us your social security number because we want to confirm you're you?
Yep.
Hang up. You know, the only time you authenticate yourself is when you're in control of the conversation and you're calling an organization. And they don't know who you are, so they have a right to say, prove to us you are who you say you are. Well,
yep.
You know, same thing with email and people falling for all the email scams.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you mentioned the IRS scam. We've gotten 3 or 4 calls here at the studio.
Yeah. Hi, this is the IRS.
Yeah, well, there's a warrant out for your arrest.
Yeah, we're calling because you had conducted fraudulent activity against the IRS. Please call us back.
And
no,
you know,
names, no nothing.
So what I got to tell you, what I did was we copied down the phone number, had the phone here. We got like on all 3 calls, and we attempted to call them back on air, obviously knowing it's a scam. to expose their misdeeds, but the numbers are always changed. They're always different. It's you're always chasing that. But I can't believe people fall for that.
Oh, listen, I've got stories for you on people. I mean, I heard of a story recently of people who two women came to their door, said they were IRS agents. They wanted to talk to them about a tax return from a few years ago. They were let into the house, and then the wife was running around the house for an hour trying to locate the tax return. Meanwhile, while she wasn't looking, they were going through her house stealing her daughter's driver's license and anything that wasn't nailed down. They did that. Wow. The people got the call, and they say, we're from the IRS, and you owe us money, we want it now. And put it on a credit card. Scam after scam. The scams there's the jury commission scam, which sounds very real. You get a phone call, they say they're from the jury commission, they are checking the eligibility of a pool of jurors, and would you please give them your social security number so they can confirm that you're an eligible juror?
That sounds almost believable, though.
No, I understand that, but
wow.
Again, the theory is, if you're calling me, you must know who I am. So why am I confirming me to you? But I'm happy to call you back. The other thing that's a problem, too, is when someone calls you on the phone and you look at your caller ID, oftentimes it will look like it's an official number, because these folks are really good at spoofing phone numbers.
Sure.
And that's why never believe what you see on your caller ID. Do not believe when you, like, for instance, you get an email and it's from a retailer you've done business with and they ask you to click on a link. Even if it's legitimate, don't do it. Go to the website of the retailer, or go to the website of your bank or of whomever it is you think you're communicating with. Make sure you independently confirm that it's the real deal. Charities, fake charities. Anytime there's some disaster in the world, there are all sorts of fake charities that appear asking you to give money, and many of them have just been created by scammers and hackers. Or news events. There are scam sites out there that will push up their relevance on search engines, hoping, like, for instance, you want to see the real card that said Moonlighting as opposed to La La Land at the Academy Awards? Click here! They always prey on
Son
an
of
event.
A gun, I knew I shouldn't have clicked that.
Well, it was just us. We were testing.
Yeah, and it is amazing, by the way. I don't know, they call that clickbait, or is that something different? But it's amazing.
Yeah.
My goodness, but yes, okay. You must have a ton of stories that you could tell, horror stories. How many different types, and we you had mentioned this or referenced this earlier, how many different types of hackers are there? We didn't go over this, right?
We didn't. Okay. And there are four types of hackers. They're the state-sponsored hackers. Now, they're not only the people that are feasting on the information in federal agencies and state agencies and businesses, everything from the Office of Personnel Management hack, which was, to my way of thinking, the most egregious hack of all, because there they got 21.5 million sets of Social Security numbers, 19 million investigative reports with the most intimate details of people's lives, because people were applying to get a security clearance, maintain a security clearance, or increase a security clearance, as well as 5.6 million sets of fingerprints. I can tell you can't change your Social Security number. The only expiration date on Social Security numbers is the day you die, and even then it doesn't matter until that number gets on the Social Security Death Index.
Sure.
And 5 million sets of fingerprints where they don't expire until you expire. As a spy, you can change everything, but you're not going to be able to change your fingerprints without going through a lot of agony to do it. Not many spies are willing to do it. That was devastating. The Sony hack, the fact that it may have only been 47,000 contractors and employees, which was bad enough, but all of the contract details, all of the email information, all of the private conversations, which played itself out again in the DNC hack and the Podesta hack. I mean, these are devastating because there's no place to hide with these kinds of things. So those are state-sponsored hackers. Then you have the for-profit hackers, Target, Home Depot, Sally's Beauty Supply, Michael's Stores. The list goes on and on, all of the hotel chains, those folks. The cause hackers. Some people think that, you know, North Korea was a cause with them because of the movie, or Ashley Madison, which was the cheating website where 37 million people were exposed and you had suicides. Divorce lawyers had a party after that happened. And then you have the Because I Can hackers, which also are lovingly referred to by the president as the 400-pound hacker in the basement of his mother's house in New Jersey. But, you know, the Because I Can hackers, oftentimes young people, they're part of a hacking community. Each one is trying to outdo the other. Some of us remember the movie War Games, where Matthew Broderick hacked into a Defense Department computer system that ultimately started the clock for World War III. I mean, these kind of crazy things can happen. Those are the hackers that are out there.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Now, with the revelations of WikiLeaks, and we've talked about this for a long time, and I'm not sure how much, what kind of comment you might have on this, but I'm very concerned about the ability of, like, car systems to be hacked. I truly believe, based on everything I was able to, on the individuals I've spoken with about Michael Hastings, that tragic car accident that he was involved in, I believe that there's a good possibility that was an assassination, or that's my belief, okay? The book, The Operators, and as a matter of fact, pages 65 and 66, he goes into the death threats that he got as he published the book. Your thoughts on something like that, on the ability to hack a vehicle?
Oh, no, we have an event every year in Scottsdale this coming year, or this year it's actually going to be near Las Vegas, called the Privacy Exchange. And last year, two of the prime speakers were the guys that hacked into the Jeep. And incidentally, the show they gave was really better than the best Las Vegas show I've ever seen. They were hysterical, but they were terrifying in the way they laid it out. Currently, they're working now for Uber. But they did it, and they showed how they could speed a car up, slow it down, turn up and down the radio, turn on and off the air conditioning. They could get into the equivalent of the, now for GM cars, the OnStar system, where they could literally say, we've taken control of your car, and you're going to drive to an ATM, and we're going to be watching you, and if you don't, we're going to drive the car off the road. Now, the automakers have rushed to become far more secure and to make their systems more hack-proof, and there are some that say that you literally have to go through a specific port, and it literally has to be done when the car is in service in order to be able to gain access. It depends upon the vehicle. But they are, again, think of them as the equivalent of an Internet of Things device.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that has anything to do with a digital experience that is connected or interconnected is susceptible to being hacked by somebody. And the hackers are very sophisticated, creative, and persistent. And, you know, therefore, we really have to work a heck of a lot harder in this country. And it's got to be a cooperative effort. It's got to be government, business, media, and consumers. We're all in this together. It literally takes, because hacking knows no borders, it takes a global community to focus on cybersecurity.
Mr. Levin, if I can kind of switch gears here, we got about 10, 11 minutes left before the end of the segment. I want to talk to you about the electronic healthcare records that they're trying to implement and the move towards a cashless society. If we want to start, what's your opinions on the electronic health records and the move to put to computerize all healthcare records? Do you see any dangers with that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you know, in the beginning, the whole theory behind electronic health records was so that more people could have access to your information to help you in a crisis get through it. The bad news is more people could get access to your information. And a significant percentage of our information is outsourced to different companies. And, you know, in the healthcare area now, the theory behind regulation is you are your vendor, and you better treat your vendor as if it was your employee, because the regulators and the class action lawsuit attorneys sure will. And, you know, in the healthcare, a lot of people, you know, their definition of identity theft is my credit card got compromised. Someone got into my bank account through my debit card, or somebody opened accounts in my name. But identity theft has morphed into so much more than that and so many scarier things than that. For instance, medical identity theft. That's when people get access to your information and they use it for the purpose of getting medical treatment, having examinations, getting prescriptions. And what folks don't understand is that when that occurs, their information gets commingled with your information, and they are also protected by privacy regulations as well. But here are some of the scary ramifications. You're on a stretcher outside an emergency room. Yeah, there's been an accident. You fainted. You're injured, and you're being given a blood transfusion, except it's the wrong blood type, because the hacker or their customer, their information got commingled with yours. Or you're trying to get pre-certified for a procedure, and you're told you can't because you already had the procedure, except you know you didn't. Or you're violently allergic to certain kinds of medication, and yet suddenly you're being treated with that medication because the information about your allergies has disappeared and been replaced by new information of perhaps other allergies by the person who stole or bought the information that was stolen from you that gave them access to the medical system. So it's an issue. And I will tell you something. In a lot of medical facilities, a medical provider, they've got a long way to go. And you know that there has been this addiction to Social Security numbers. And, you know, when you go to your doctor and they say, give us your Social Security number, you don't have to. You can say, hey, by the way, my insurance company has my Social Security number, and you have my insurance information. Or I can't get out of your office without giving you my credit card anyway. And I had a doctor once say to me, well, we need it in the event you die. I said, I tell you what, call my wife if I'm dead. Call my lawyer. They will have my Social Security number. I don't need to give it to you. But Social Security numbers are out there. You want to talk about those of us that are over the age of 65? Your Medicare card. The government of the United States, in its infinite wisdom, made your Medicare number, your Social Security number, and a letter. Now, that's quite a masking device. Wow. Now, you know, a law was passed that we are phasing out of Social Security numbers on our Medicare cards. But one word of advice for anyone over 65 who has a card that's listening and watching is that take your Medicare card, and unless you're specifically going that day to a medical provider where you need it, and in most cases you don't, make a copy of it, redact most of the numbers so there's one or two numbers so they can see it's a real Medicare card, that's your number, and on the back, write an emergency contact number so that in the event you have fainted, they have somebody they can call and they can get your Medicare number from.
Okay. Good piece of advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Folks,
When you go into the doctor's office at the beginning of the year, at least with the doctors around here, they give you a new, like when you first walk in, they give you a form to fill out and they ask for your information, your name. So you're saying is you don't have to put the Social Security information on there.
And the truth of the matter is that I've been in a lot of situations. First of all, I've had a lot of doctors where they don't even ask me. I don't put it in. Nobody says a word. Occasionally, someone will say something, and I'll say, I'm not giving you I'll give you anything else you want, but I'm not going to give you my Social Security number. Now, more and more medical facilities are now moving to where they do a scan of your palm, and it has to do with your veins. I mean, it's fascinating. The biometric stuff they're doing now is great. But I did a warning recently. I did a story with a television station here in New York. And, you know, when you make the peace sign and you take a picture of it, and a lot of the digital cameras now and the cameras on smartphones have high res, they can literally take that picture, if you do it with high res, blow it up, and using glue and certain kinds of paper, make a copy of it, and they can duplicate it, and then use that to unlock devices where you need your fingerprint to unlock them. So again, that, you know, the incredibly creative.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously. Gun safes. You know, the gun.
Sure.
So wait a minute. Just so I understand this. I don't even want to do it.
Put your hand
just showing my hand.
You can do the backward peace sign, you see, as opposed to the...
So they can... Okay,
with the high-resolution pictures, they can pick up the details of your hand so well they can gather your fingerprints from that.
Not only that, but I'll tell you something interesting. I was at a gathering recently, and somebody from the Boy Scouts of America came up to me and said, we are seriously reflecting upon whether or not we need to change the sign that we make when we do our pledge, because there are so many parents in a room taking pictures that on digital cameras that have high res capability and the HDR is on, that we're worried that our children could end up having their fingerprints exposed to hackers, and we're seriously thinking about making a change or doing a backward version of the sign. So I mean, it shows you the concern is now starting to spread about this kind of stuff.
Man, this is incredible. Our guest, Adam Levin, his book, Swiped. Folks, you've got to get a copy of this book. If you don't have a copy of this book, get one. It's an invaluable tool. I'm a big believer in cybersecurity. I'm also a victim. I'm embarrassed to say, you know, I was a victim of debit card credit card theft, and again, to pick up the pieces from that, it's a huge hassle. And what Mr. Levin just said about the healthcare aspect, my goodness, yeah, you can't afford not to have a copy of this book and follow his advice. AdamLevin.com. We got about 3 minutes left of the show. This has been fascinating. Any words of wisdom, other pieces of advice you'd like to give our listeners here before we cut you loose?
Absolutely, and this really relates to the third M, which is how do you manage the damage? Because you and I talked about, you know, what you went through with it. And when you become victims of even more exotic forms of identity theft, which is medical or child identity theft, where a child may not know for 17 or 18 years that he or she is a victim, and sometimes the perpetrator is their parent or their sibling. As a matter of fact, a significant percentage of reported identity theft occurs within the family. Then you have criminal identity theft, where you're pulled over for a busted taillight, suddenly guys with guns surround your car and you're hauled off because there were warrants for your arrest. A lot of people don't realize that there are many services available to them through institutions with whom they have relationships. Their insurance companies, many of credit unions, smaller banks, big banks like to sell monitoring products and charge money for it, but many smaller financial institutions, as well as HR departments where you work through employee benefits programs, have a program available to get you through an identity theft incident with professionals who do the work, make the phone calls, write the letters, put you on monitoring, do all sorts of things like that. So you need to ask your insurance agent, ask your bank services or your financial services rep, ask the HR department where you work, do you have a program that can help me if I have an identity-related problem? Am I in it already? What do I need to get in it? Is it free or does it cost? You'll be surprised that with many institutions, as a perk of your relationship, as a customer acquisition and retention tool, they offer these programs for free or at a significant discount. But many times they're just terrible at educating you as to the fact that these programs exist for you. So ask the question. Don't be afraid. You know, the old line, you don't ask, you don't get. Right. You need to ask because you may be very pleasantly surprised.
Fantastic. Good advice. Thank you so much. Adam Levin, our guest. Wow. an incredible hour. Thank you so very much for thanks for writing the book, as I thanked you before. But thank you for your appearance tonight, because it's been educational, informational, and yeah, a little bit scary. But thank you.
Scary, you know. But again, thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you so much for your very kind words.
Well, they're well deserved. God bless you, my friend. Until next time, and we do hope you'll join us again sometime.
For sure.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks.
Folks, Adam Levin. Adam Levin from adamlevin.com. And you've seen him on Fox News and CBS. And I mean, he's everywhere. He writes a column, numerous columns, actually. His book, Swiped. I love it. Of course, after the fact, Joe. After the fact. And, yeah. And you remembered what happened to me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was unhappy.
Well, that's a day-to-day thing.
That's my default setting.
Right? But, yeah. Coming up next, we have a guest that we haven't had on in quite a while, Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He is the founder of that organization, and I think he hasn't been on since 2013.
No, he was on in, I mean, he, yeah, 2012.
2013.
Yeah.
He came on a few times back then, but we're going to hear from him next. And then after that, we have a former INS agent by the name of Michael Cutler, and I got a chance to speak with him off air earlier. He's going to be full of information when he comes on. So Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers, AE911truth.org is the website. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Greenovative.
Low tech.
Thank you, sir. HagmanReport.com.
This was awesome.
The link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com.
Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.